Welcome to the bonus episode of The Good Glow. This season is brought to you with thanks to Boyne Valley Honey. In some brilliant news, Boyne Valley Honey is the official breakfast partner of Pieta's Darkness Into Light 2026, proudly supported by Electric Ireland. Right now, you can pick up a special promotional pack in stores, and with every bottle sold, 25 cents is donated to Pieta, supporting the incredible life-saving support they provide. More than 40,000 hours of therapy are provided through Pieta services each year. So make sure to pick up one of those promotional packs of Boyne Valley Honey in stores, because it's a small way to make a big difference. Welcome to the bonus. I have been so excited to sit down with you, Jamie, and talk about this episode with Ryan Tuberty.
Why?
I don't know. I was just such a five-star moment, him coming to the house. We've got a new setup in the house now, and I felt like it was really important to record this episode with Ryan from home. Obviously, I'm 19 seasons into The Good Glow now, and I cannot tell you the difference between recording in studio with someone and recording in your own home.
Yeah, so like traditionally we would have gone into a studio, met the guest outside the door, gone in, had a tea or coffee with them, sat down. But there's a different vibe when they come here.
Yeah.
And it was actually particularly noted by him when he came, and someone else. We recorded another podcast with someone a couple of weeks ago here, and they were like, oh, it's so calming here.
Yeah.
And so like in another world, you'd almost call that disarming them, or sort of helping them to relax. So when he came in, he was very chilled. And what I thought was really nice was we were on the Late Late Show together years ago. He remembered me and he remembered Luke, who was doing filming that day's daughter, who was on the Late Late Show on the Toy Show once, which was so nice. And he was just so friendly and lovely. But it was great for him to come here. Obviously, we live kind of in the countryside, and you hear a bit of those moments in the podcast where he sees the deer in the field and stuff like that. So it was a nice way of, again, disarming, or just having a different type of conversation than you would have in a studio in town.
Especially when you are, okay, so from my experience of interviewing people, if you're interviewing, say, the girl next door about a breakup or a life-changing event, and you bring her to a studio, there is the potential for someone to absolutely freak out because it's so alien. And then putting someone who's in showbiz into a studio, they almost, without even realizing, like you say, I put on my radio voice.
Yeah.
You know, you become that character of yourself. And so Ryan has been so used to being in studios for his entire life that I wanted to bring him here because he is a different version of himself, and I didn't want him to slip back into showbiz Ryan, even though I think he's so professional and so used to being in studio that maybe that's not the case with him. But a lot of the feedback I got on this podcast, and the feedback is so important to me, was this is the most relaxed we've seen Ryan. I loved how honest and close your conversation was. You both seemed very relaxed. Like, that was all the feedback, and that was the intention. And I did say on the main podcast that I would tell you about the present I bought for Ryan. So Jamie,
I tell the story?
Yeah, sure.
So just to give people context on this, Georgie loves a little trip to Barn Hill Stores, which is a gorgeous grocery store in Dalkey. And she goes there at the weekend and she stocks up on all the really nice stuff. So anyway, she arrives home on Thursday ahead of Ryan coming to the house on Friday with a Barn Hill Stores bag. And I'm like, oh, we're doing this now, are we? We're shopping from Thursday to Sunday in Barn Hill. And I open the bag and there's a pear, an apple or almond, what was it?
Pear and almond tart.
A pear and almond tart. And I was like, well, that's lovely, but I don't want that. What is this for? And that was the only thing that was in the bag. Was there something else? Was there?
There was a few vegetables.
A few little things, right. And so I said, all right, what's this for? And she goes, this is not for you. This is for Ryan Tuberty. And at that point, I was even more stunned. I was like, you bought Ryan Tuberty a pear and almond cake.
Not to eat in our house either. I wanted Ryan to go home, have his Friday night that he loves, his little bag of cans that he was talking about it on the podcast, and eat his pear and almond pie in absolute peace.
But so I didn't know that you obviously then turned around and said, Ryan is a sweet tooth.
Yes.
And he loves cake. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. So that's credit to you and your research for your podcast.
So when you did open the bag, I was like, not every single thing is about you. There was a new man who was the center of my life on Friday. So we came in, Jamie told him I make a nice flat white. I had the machine on, made him a flat white. We sat down, we pressed record. And just before Ryan had got here, we said, wouldn't it be fab if, because there's loads of deer around our house, if a deer ran past. One day I was doing a corporate talk and online, and it was to like 200 people. And I was sitting at the kitchen table because we have a really nice background. And I looked up and there was a stag staring at me, just his face like hanging over our fence. And I'm talking, how many meters would that be? Six?
Yeah, 5 or 6, yeah.
5 or 6 meters away. And I love a good sign. So about 4 minutes into the podcast, when I was talking to Ryan about my kind of rock bottom moments and how I was coming alive again in our garden, a gorgeous deer ran across the path.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And I think I thought that was a really good moment in the podcast. And it was a weird, was it serendipity? Is that serendipity? Mm-hmm. A weird serendipitous moment where, you know, he had just about, or was about to just talk about, you know, nature and the healing power of nature and what it meant to him. Like you, I think maybe you had mentioned the moment of hearing the birds singing again in your recovery. And then he had said, yeah, I get that. I see that now. And it sort of made me think about, well, like, why does it take sometimes in our life those moments, like those earthquake moments, for us to realize that, you know, nature is all around us. It's on our doorstep and we just need to take a little stop down and pay attention to it. And that there's huge healing power in just immersing yourself in nature and being aware of it, as in consciously being aware of it. Like that's why we talk about how impactful, say, our Swiss running event is, because you're up on the side of a mountain and you're in the trees and all that sort of stuff. But it doesn't have to be that, you know. You could just be out digging the garden and you're immersing yourself in nature, or you could just be taking a walk in a forest. It doesn't have to be a running thing. So I think it's I think it was a lovely moment between the two of you there, where you kind of both connected early in the podcast on that same topic.
I actually did a corporate talk in Cork for chartered accountants, and this man came up and he said, what you said about the birds, because sometimes I speak about that at a corporate level. And he said, my mum has Alzheimer's, and I used to go and sit in the garden with her. And one day I was just chatting away to her and she just went, shh, listen to the birds. Mm. And he said, like, that was such a moment where she was herself again. And I was like, whoa. And he said, so when you said that about the birds, he said, it brought me back to that moment with her. And I was like, whoa, isn't it incredible? And the last thing I'll say about that is I really admire people who are able to connect with moments like that, and people in the Good Glow community who are in our community despite nothing terrible happening to them.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And for being able to see that. And that, I suppose that's why I go out to corporates and do my talk, because I want to bring those moments to people's consciousness before. There doesn't have to be an earthquake in your life for you to realize that. But it was a gorgeous moment very early in the podcast between myself and Ryan. And to be honest with you, I was nervous to interview Ryan, and you could probably hear it in my voice at the start, and I felt like I settled into it a little bit. But it's really intimidating interviewing Ryan Tubridy, because that's his gig. And it took a lot to kind of keep up with him, because he is so intelligent, such a great speaker, tells a great story. So to keep up with him and keep the questions coming at him, and just being in that space with him, was intimidating, yet also incredible.
Yeah, but and I was actually going to keep this moment till the end of this podcast to say this to you, but now that we're talking about it, it's like, you did a really good job of interviewing him, and he actually acknowledged that at the end. And, you know, I think you need to take credit here as well for, like, he's very passionate and excitable, and you really did a great job of, like, keeping the whole thing on track. And he saw that, like, with his media hat on, he was able to identify that and then say to you at the end, which I thought was, he didn't have to say that. Mm. It was really nice for him to say that. And sometimes you do podcasts and I hear them before they're edited, and the person is saying that to you and you take it out. And you should, I'm telling you now in this moment, that you should, like, acknowledge that in yourself, that you're very good at interviewing people, disarming them, bringing them to a nice level where they're comfortable to have really intimate, good chats. And it was lovely to hear him, a man of his experience, to hear him say that about you doing your job. And you should take credit for that.
So what kind of moment stood out for you in the pod?
Well, one of the things that, and I'm not sure if you told him your side of this story, but when he said about not being able to listen to music, like, that was, I was like, well, you tell that story a lot also, that when you were going through your trauma, like, music, you couldn't hear the music, you couldn't listen to music. And I thought it was really interesting that you both also shared the nature thing and that.
And the reason that I didn't say, yeah, me too, is because we just agreed on the nature thing, and I didn't want to come back in, like, 2 minutes later and be like, yeah, me too. So I just kind of let that moment pass. But it was like, whoa, it actually made me a little bit emotional when he said that, because, I mean, if it's me and him, how many other people can't listen to music when they're in the thick of it?
Well, there is actually a thing, like, you know, that there is a, like, so highly sensitive people are known in the, like, I think it's the psychology world, I'm not sure, as HSPs, highly sensitive people.
Are you calling me a highly sensitive person?
You're a HSP. You are definitely a highly sensitive person. But you, those type of people have, music will trigger the reward system in their brain more than it would trigger a less sensitive person. So that's why you and Ryan, like, very similar type people, in terms of you're both people, you're very you know, you're probably heart-led people, and so that is why you can't listen to music, or people who are highly sensitive can't listen to music, or on the other side of it, do listen to music to bring on emotions that they want to feel. Mm-hmm. You know, the way some music can hit people really hard and it doesn't impact other people in any way.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why that happens. And, like, when you're in those moments, you can't bring yourself to that place to listen to music. But then there was obviously your elbow moment for you, which you've talked about before.
Yeah. So I was, so I remember one day we were driving somewhere and you just put on an Ed Sheeran song, and I was so annoyed at you for putting it on, because I was like, you know that I can't listen to music. But that Ed Sheeran song brought me back to Arthur's day when we went to see him in the Olympia.
Yeah.
And it felt like a knife in my chest, you know? And that was a moment that I really remember being badly triggered by music. And then I was, oh my God, why am I getting emotional? Ugh. But then I remember driving, Pia was in the back. It was pitch dark. It was definitely a winter's evening. And I was driving up through where we live, and I was about to turn left down our road, which is like a 3 minute drive. And I was listening to Today FM, and Dara Quilty said, up next, Elbow, One Moment Like This. Is that what the song is called?
One Day Like This.
One Day Like This. And my hand went over to turn it off. And instead of turning it off, I turned it up.
Mm.
And I listened to it at full volume. I think Pia was asleep. And that was the moment that I felt a little bit more healed.
That was when you started listening to music again, right?
Yeah. So any other moments that
Well, there's a good... I wanted to ask you this question. It's like there was a really nice moment in the podcast where he kind of started to interview you.
Mm-hmm.
What's that like?
I suppose as someone... I like that and I do that when I'm on podcasts as well, because as an interviewer, so say when I go on to podcasts, by about 15 minutes in, I'm sick of talking about myself, and my curious mind wants to know about the other person and their experience. And so Ryan, being an interviewer, probably feels the same thing, that he's like, geez, I'm talking a lot here. I'm not used to hearing my voice so much in an interview. And so he becomes curious. And yeah, it was a lovely moment. And it's, I think it's really respectful thing to do to someone who is interviewing you, to throw something back at them.
Yeah, it was a good, I liked that. Well, you also pulled it back to the interview really well at that time. So like with my media hat on, I was like, oh, she's doing a good job now here, pulling this back to her asking the questions. Because yeah, it was one of those moments where it could have gone the other way. You could have kept going, but you were able to kind of swing it back around, which was lovely. I also really liked how he talked about like the key to everything is talking. And I know when, particularly, you know, for men, it's hard to talk. And when I was on the Late Late with you, he asked me, I think the final question of that interview was like, if you could say something to anyone else in your position, what would you say? And I basically said, you know, talk to people. And I think when he said, like, he did a lot of talking, but he didn't do a lot of listening to himself. I think the first stage is you listen to yourself. And then the second stage is you then talk about it. And I think it was really important. He was referencing talking to a therapist, but not necessarily everyone has access to a therapist or, you know, can find that, you know, helpful. It's just a matter of talking to friends and family or people you love or people who you can confide in. And I think it's nice to hear a man say that, and certainly a man of his stature who's been through clearly a lot, at a number of stages in his life. You know, he's, you know, really number one presenter in the country for a long time, presented the biggest TV show. You know, it would be easy to not say that, but he said it.
Yeah, so great. He said, as an Irishman, I did a lot of talking but said nothing. I should have listened to myself more. And this podcast is supported by Boyne Valley Honey, who are the breakfast sponsor for Darkness Into Light. So it was such a beautiful moment that he opened up about that. We can do a lot of talking and not listen to ourselves. Mm. I mean, I certainly did for 32 years of my life. And he, you know, said it on the podcast, like, he was pushed to the absolute brink with his mental health. And I think people were really hard on him. I know we got a lot of support, but I think we need to stop and ask ourselves, you know, how are we treating other people? And that person has to go home at the end of the day, get into their bed and lie there with their thoughts. I hated the pylon on Ryan Tuberty. I hated every minute of it. And if you go back to my messages to him, like, he didn't follow me or anything back then, but I had sent him 3 messages.
Read it out there. Do you have it? This is on Instagram, right?
Yeah. I sent him...
So wait, you were sliding into Ryan Tuberty's DMs at one point. Is that what you're telling me?
Absolutely. I don't know if it's stupid, right? But Wim Hof had been on my podcast.
Yeah, go on.
And I made this image of a quote that Wim Hof... So this is the 2nd of August, 2023. So this is in the...
Bang in the middle of it, yeah.
Height of it.
Yeah.
I said, hey, Ryan, thought of you while I was making this, something Wim Hof said on my podcast, Hope All Is Well. And it says, your nature, this is a quote by Wim Hof, your nature is to be happy, strong and healthy. The rest is really bullshit. And whoever is in control in making us believe that that bullshit is ours. Hey man, that time is over.
It's the most Wim Hof quote I've ever heard, but it's actually, if you think about it at that time, what he was going through, it's actually brilliant that you sent him that.
Your nature is to be happy, healthy and strong. The rest is bullshit. And whoever is in control and making us believe that that bullshit is ours, that time is over.
Why did you not bring that up on the podcast?
I don't know.
In my production head now, I'm like, that was, gee, you should have read that to him.
I know. I could have had a 4-hour conversation with Ryan, but that's what I mean about the pylon. He was being held as this poster boy for every poor decision that RTE made, and not to get into it, but that was all put on him. And yeah, that wasn't his. His, all of us, every single person listening, whether your boss is piling on you, whether your neighbor is giving you shit, whatever is going on in your life, your nature is to be happy, strong and healthy. Focus on that, because that's what we all deserve. And whoever is putting other bullshit on us, no. And I, it's probably easier said than done, but that is the message that I sent to him back then. And then I was posting about his first day sitting at the brown table, which we brought up on the podcast, where I listened to his first link on Virgin Radio. And it felt like, what is the expression that I say often? First the pain, then the waiting, then the rising. And press and play on that U2 song that morning was his rising. And I don't think he's ever looked back since.
No, like when you hear him talk about his career and how passionate he is about it, like he is a phenomenal broadcaster and he's incredible at what he does. Like we should be, as like you said there, the pylon, as a nation championing people like him. And it's really annoying to see that we don't do that. Other nations do it. You know, we talked about the British press on the podcast as well, you know, in the same way, the Meghan Markle thing. Like Ireland, I think as a country, we need to sort of stop and change how we do that sort of pylon thing. And we should be championing good people. And people are allowed to make mistakes, even if they're unintentional.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is that he said he made a mistake and held his hands up and did more than he needed to do to repair the situation.
That's enough for me, though. That's it. Okay, great, done. Like, move on.
Yeah. Something interesting also, speaking of things that maybe I need to get him back, that I didn't bring up on the podcast, and maybe I was probably a little bit intimidated to bring this up with him, but you know the way Ryan has said over and over again, it was my decision to leave the Late Late Show. And some people are like, no it wasn't, and he's like, it was. We met him, the Late Late Show that I did the first time, before COVID, and then we met him the second time when we were both on the Late Late Show coming towards the end of COVID. We met him both of those times in the dressing room before we went on, went out, did the interview, went into the green room, you know, the whole shebang. And you said the second time we met him, which was coming to the end of his reign, you said there is something different about Ryan this time.
Yeah. Well, it felt to me a little bit like he was going through the motions. Not that he wasn't present or anything like that. It just felt, he just felt a little bit different than on that occasion. And I kind of was like, I wonder, is he close to jacking this in, or is it?
And he has spoken so many times about that. That was the exact feeling he had, that he just didn't have, not to put words in his mouth, but the gist that I'm getting is the passion for it anymore. Or he wanted to do something different. He wanted to challenge himself in a different way. And there must be so many people listening to this podcast that feel that in their heart and soul, that they're not. And there's so many people in the Good Glow community with really big jobs. And to step out of the machine, you know, especially when you're on the top, has to be a scary thing to face and to follow through, to even admit it to yourself. So it's interesting because I didn't pick up on that at all, that time on the Late Late, but you did.
But now you're saying that, like, so maybe I recognize that in him because I had been through that. So for me, I was running Spin for 9 years as the CEO, but had worked there for almost 15 and loved it. And I loved every day of working there. But it also comes a time where you just on the wheel. And actually what happens to you, I think, in those things is everything becomes relatively easy for you. And when life is too easy, it becomes, you know,
mundane
and difficult to become motivated and all. And I love the people I worked for, the people I worked with, the brand which I helped create from the start. But it did get to the point where I was like, I could kind of do this, not in my sleep, but it was relatively easy to do. And that's not fulfilling. And it was probably the same at Ryan. I don't even know how many years he said he did the Late Late Show for. But, you know, there's a machine there and you become part of a system. Mm. And like he said, every Friday at this time, this is what happened. And every Saturday morning, he'd wake up feeling like this. That can become great grinding. And grind you down to a point that you feel like, I maybe don't want to be doing this anymore. And certainly that was the case for me. But I think what's happened with him now is, like, he even said it, his world has opened up, like, hugely because of, you know, all the changes in his life. And the way he was talking about that, if I compare that to how he was speaking when we met him, when he was on the Late Late Show, there was way more passion in what he was talking about he was doing now because his world has opened up. So, you know, if you think about the grind, you know, the you become so closed off to, especially when you're in a beast of a machine like RTE, like which he's referred to, I think it as the machine, you know, you're in that, your world becomes quite tunnel visioned and quite small. You don't understand what world exists outside of the tunnel. And I think he's now opened up to that. And I certainly went through that as well. Like I, you know, went from one media job into a startup, into another media job, which didn't work out and I didn't like it. And I stepped out and came into this world. And now like it's opened up so much for me. You know, we're doing some things that I just absolutely love doing. Like, you know,
like what?
Well, not the admin. I hate the admin, but we are, that's part of the daily life. But it's the trips and meeting people and, you know, bringing people on journeys. And I'm not talking about a physical journey from A to B. I'm talking about like a spiritual journey and, you know, helping people achieve goals and, you know, cross the finish line of a half marathon in Lake Arda they never thought they'd do. You know, things like that is very fulfilling. And it's like, I never thought that existed.
Yeah. But let's
before
talk,
we created it.
Yeah. Know? But let's talk about the other side of, and as I said, people listening to the Good Glow with the big jobs and their dream is to just step out of it. Okay. They could be, you know, there's barristers, there's solicitors, there's CEOs, COOs, finance people, like, and they're just burnt out completely. And like Ryan, to step out when you're at the top and to step out and do something else. For example, you walking around with your cap on backwards. I used to walk out of here every morning, you know, efficiently in dressed to the absolute nines going off to your corporate job. And now there's a slower pace of life. And I'm not going to sugarcoat that. At times, that has to be difficult for people. It has to be difficult.
Okay. So in my context, I put on the suit every morning, went into work, did a thing. Now I'm wearing a baseball cap backwards. But bringing Pia to school, bringing Tal to creche, those are moments. That's a moment in time that will be gone fairly soon, you know.
Yeah.
You'll be getting the bus to school and that's gone. That's really important for me. So that's all that, you know, when I need to check myself about, you know, oh, maybe, you know, wasn't the right decision to step away from corporate land and do, you know, what we do now. But those, I'm just remind myself of those moments when I'm holding Bea's hand, dropping her into school, and when I'm dropping Tal in and she's, bye, daddy, you know, waving at the door. Those are lovely moments that when all is said and done, and you know, you're in your last day, you'll look back at them and you'll go, well, that was the important stuff, not the other shit. Yeah. You know, so that's why I do it. And but it is hard. And I still to this day, like how many years later, 7 or whatever it is, go, Jesus, did I do the right thing? But then those questions or those queries on myself become less and less as we go on. And the more we do, and, you know, the more purposeful work we're doing with people, that all is kind of disappearing now for me.
Yeah.
But for something that I feel is meaningful, and I'm not necessarily saying working in a corporate job is not meaningful. It absolutely is, if that's what aligns with your values.
Yeah. And that is such a good point. So many people are fully fulfilled and have found their purpose in their corporate job. It's no shade to people in the corporate world. It's the ecosystem that makes the world go round, right?
100%.
So any final thoughts? I wanted to just mention quickly about the president question.
That was a great question, because I think you, like I said at the start, you're really good at reading people. And that's one quality I've always looked at in you and been like, she's so good at the people thing, but also reading people and understanding like where they may be going and like their futures and all. And it makes complete sense to ask that question, because it also makes, you know, my opinion as well, complete sense that he would do that and go for president. He's obviously interested in politics, clearly is really interested in history. He's a great Irish ambassador. He's a cultured human being. if that's how you describe someone like Ryan Tuberty, he goes to museums and he goes to art galleries at the weekend and he enjoys. That means he should be the president. But he is cultured in, and he knows he's a historian from what I can see in the outside looking in. So I think that was a brilliant question to ask him.
And I think more than anything else, and it's something you said at the start, is he's a people person.
Yeah.
And what I think that this experience has allowed Ryan to do is understand people even more, which is something that you won't get in any sort of political degree school, that you won't get from any communications coach. You have to be through the absolute shit, I believe, to really see people. And this experience has allowed him to drop from his head into his heart, see people, understand people in a different way. And that is the greatest gift the last couple of years will have given him.
Yeah. And see, when you say see people, do you mean see both sides of people or just see? Because like that's really important. Two sides of good natured people who would stop him in the street on Dunleary Pier and say, are you okay? Hope you're doing all right, you know? And if he is going into that space, you need to understand both sides. And I think he probably does now. And I think that's amazing. And I thought it was a brilliant question, because he was so stunned by it. It kind of, I think, gave it away a little bit that he might be thinking that. And he tried to deflect for ages, a little bit, like he was going around. I was like, bring it back, Georgie. And then you did. And I loved that. It was brilliant.
Yeah. And by what I mean by see people is see people. And every single time that I now look at people as either bad or good, I bring myself back to my conversation with Marianne Williamson, who said, we're either all God's children or we're not.
Mm.
That was the biggest lesson for me in understanding people. And these are the magic moments on the Good Glow that change who I am as a person and how I show up in the world. Especially that quote from Wim Hof, which I thought was so apt for Ryan at that time. So I hope Ryan had a 5-star moment eating his pear and almond tart in his kitchen last Friday night after his few pints, and thought to himself, you know, it's been a tough road, but maybe I'm on the right path.
I'm not sure pear and almond pie goes well with pints. It'd be more of a tea thing. So I'd love to know who he shared it with, because it was massive. It was huge. Like it was like a giant, it's like a large pizza sized pear tart. So did he eat it all to himself? I don't know. Maybe he listened to this and he'll send us a message.
Yeah. Thank you so much to Ryan for being so great. His live shows are going to be brilliant because we got, you know, the behind the scenes Ryan on this podcast before the podcast in the kitchen for 10 minutes. His conversations with blind boy Tommy Tiernan. Can't wait to see who his guest is going to be in the Olympia. It's going to be next level conversation. And I think, to be kind of rude for a second, he doesn't give a shite anymore.
Yeah.
In the best possible way. He yeah. really cares about how he's showing up in the world and his passions, but he doesn't work for the man anymore. So he's free. Mm. He's finally free.
Yeah, I love it.
Before we go, we're just back from Cornwall. We had a stunning 2 days on the Cornish coast. Didn't have a Cornish pasty.
No, no Cornish pasties, but
we had a lot of fish.
A lot of gorgeous, healthy, beautiful seafood. Did some amazing runs, again, immersed in nature, which was, you know, absolutely stunning. Got great weather, turquoise blue seas, running along cliff tops, beautiful, beautiful running. And I'm excited for our trip.
Yeah, so we're going to Cornwall in June for our Run to You event, which is stunning. Actually, I'll leave a link in the show notes so you can read all about it because the words don't do it justice. Actually, I love that web page on our website. I'm really excited for the weekend. We've got so much planned. I came home today and I escaped the office at 11:30. And went to Caviston's out in Dunleary, bought loads and loads of fruit and veg, and then hopped into the steam room in Westwood Dunleary for 20 minutes. Came home and I'm a new woman. So thank you so much for tuning in. This was way longer than we anticipated, but I think there's some good stuff in there for people. If you haven't listened to the main episode, I'll leave a link in the show notes. And if you didn't listen to our bonus episode from last week, it's one of my favorites. We talk about choice. We spoke about how Greg O'Shea showed up at our event in Lake Garda and what we noticed from that and what we learned from that. And there's so many gems in it. So I'll link that in the show notes too.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed this one too. This was good.
Yeah. Okay, we'll see you next week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Talk to you soon.